This is React Podcast. I'm Chantastic. This week on React Podcast, we diverge from our typical technical focus to talk about communication. Many of you are developing a product, whether that be an open source library, course material on your favorite framework, or your skills as a freelance developer. You are selling something. Getting there requires more than great technical skills. Getting there requires strong communication. So today we sit with Val Geisler, founder of Fix My Churn, to talk about communication through email, why it's critical for building and branding your business, and how to get started. I've learned so much from Val and the strategies mentioned in this show. I'm thrilled to share a conversation with you today. I believe it has the potential to change your career. This episode of React Podcast is made possible by G2I and Level Up Tutorials. Today, we're talking about building a brand, and you may be thinking, this is great, but where do I go for my weekly fix on becoming a better web developer? Easy, go to leveluptutorials.com. Last week, we talked about Gatsby themes, and Chris Picardi mentioned that the Gatsby store is built entirely using Gatsby. Hence, it's a dynamically backed site using only static assets. That's pretty wild. Now, if you want to learn how to make a dynamic online store using Gatsby, Level Up Tutorials has two brand new courses on Gatsby for e-commerce and Advanced Gatsby and Shopify. They're both terrific. Scott Talinsky has a natural and friendly teaching style that I deeply admire. In fact, I'm just a little bit jealous. You can buy the two Gatsby courses I just mentioned, or go pro, buy a subscription, and get immediate access to the entire Level Up Tutorials catalog. It includes lessons on React, Hooks, Styled Components, Electron, Gatsby, and even animating in React. Become a better web developer at leveluptutorials.com. Now, where do you go once you've mastered Gatsby and e-commerce? Where can you put those skills into practice, build something, and get paid? Hit up our friends at G2I.co. G2I helps you create your dream job. Work from home, cultivate relationships with like-minded developers, and partner with companies that are serious about React, React Native, and quality engineering. G2I pairs React-focused companies and expert React developers. Their expertise is in finding the right fit, so you don't have to worry about getting stuck in a stack that you hate. You'll get paired with companies that you're aligned with technically. And when it comes to marketing yourself, invoicing, and collecting payments, you don't have to do any of it. G2I has you covered. They handle everything so that you can focus on the work that you like using the tools you love. Visit g2i.co today, navigate to the For Developers page, and discover what opportunities G2I has for you. G2I, we vet, you get hired. It's that simple. Val, welcome to React Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. This is a space I'm not often in, so I am very excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I was introduced to you and your work through Joel at Egghead, and I think that you've worked a lot together. And I've just been completely enamored by the way that you handle email and the way that you talk about email and the way that you think about email. And so I wanted to give React Podcast listeners the gift of just an introduction to you, because I think that the way you think about email is totally different than I have seen before. And so I'm excited to talk with you. My first question is just, how did email steal your heart? It's kind of a funny thing to be in love with email, but I want to know, how do you find email and how did you fall in love?
Okay, well, I have a question back for you, and that is, what is it that has you enamored with the way that I approach email? Like, how is it different from what you see?
Yeah, so I after hearing about you from Joel, I subscribed to your newsletter, and I was really interested in how it was like a newsletter that had all these bits about how to write better email. And I'm sure you have several newsletters, but the ones that I'm subscribed to is talking about how you can write better email. And there's something so fascinatingly meta about getting a newsletter that is you. You're talking about the things that are going on in your life, but you're also simultaneously talking about how to write better email, how to write better copy. In particular, you were this last email, you had a bunch of links that you wanted to share with people, and you use that as an opportunity to say, don't send a lot of links in your email. You're going to get marked as spam.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of like self-reflective piece to your writing that I just find so engaging.
Oh, well, that's good. I feel like that actually is why I fell in love with email in the first place, is that email is a way to talk to people. Uh-huh. And I think that's something that we forget when we start to think about the, like, you know, all like title case email marketing, right? Like we think it has to be like this thing that we do, and really it's just a medium of communication. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so interesting to me about email, is that it's not, it's really not any different to me than writing a blog post. And I know that content marketers would tell me blog posts are so different, and you need to think about all these things, and there's no SEO in email, and headlines are different than subject lines, and I get all of that. But I write the same way I talk to people. So if you get my emails, or you read my blogs, or you listen to a podcast with me, or you meet me at a conference, it's going to be the same me across the board.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone should do that, because if you remember, there's a person reading the email at the other end of it, right? So even though we're typing into a very formal piece of software that sends out our emails, and we have a list that we, and we could talk about that. You know, we have like, everybody thinks about writing this like email blast to their list.
Yeah.
And I have a t-shirt that says send emails, not blasts. It's like a superhero font, and because it's true, like don't write emails that are to a large group of people. Write emails to an individual person, and it's just like there's a person reading it, and a person who has chosen to allow you into their inbox, and who wants to hear from you, and has asked you to show up and teach them or talk to them. And so to me, it's like such an honor to have all those people asking for that. And then to if I showed up in any other way other than to just be me and share what I know, it would feel really inauthentic for me, and it would feel like a waste of their time. So I love email because it's a way to communicate with other humans without leaving my home.
Right, right. So that brings up an interesting question for me, is when you write, when you sit down to write, who do you think of your audience as? Like, do you think of them as kind of like a curious stranger or a friend, or like you know, last year? Who do you think of as your audience? You know, when you are talking to, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Who do you think of as you write?
That's a good question. I think that it depends on what I'm writing for. Mm-hmm. So I teach an incubator where I teach copywriters and in-house marketers how to become email marketing strategists, and how to do email better. And in the incubator, I am writing to former me, you know, me of
sure
a couple years ago. But typically I'm writing, like if I'm writing the email I wrote last week, I write it like I write to friends. And in fact, I usually write an actual friend's name at the top of the email when I'm writing.
Oh, wow.
So that I think about that person as I'm writing it. It's a little trick that helps you make the jump from like, I am talking to 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 people, to I'm just talking to my friend Jay, and this is what I want to tell him, and I want to send him all this information, but oh, by the way, I'm so sorry, there are a lot of links in this email, and I know as an email marketer that's a bad practice to do. And so that's, you know, I'll, and then obviously you have to take their name out and put it in the proper liquid text, but Otherwise, it's only applicable to him. but, you know, I tend to write emails to friends. And I also start off all of my communication. Like, my welcome email is a lot of information about me, like random weird facts about me. It's actually 5 weird facts about me in my welcome email when you join my email list. And that is purely to like break the friend barrier of
interesting.
Now by knowing these 5 random things about me, you and I feel closer.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you know me a little bit better. Same kind of effect happens with podcasts, I think, right? Like somebody listens to your voice and they feel like you're now best friends.
Totally.
And so people reply to my welcome email all the time. And then they tell me 5 random facts about them. And it's really fun. And I feel like I get to know all these people. And I've made some good friends through my email list. And I think that's really cool that you can do that these days.
Is that something that you find people have a challenge with when they start writing email, is being personal enough? Do they want to kind of like put on an air? And is it hard to kind of break that down and get back to the person who's writing the email?
Yeah, I think it's like anything else you do that, you know, I don't know about your show, but if you think about like the first time you were on a podcast or the first time you hosted one and you had your podcast voice and you know, like you kind of, like fluff up a little bit. I watch my kids play and it's like the voice that they use when they're being the teacher.
Yes.
It makes them like have authority. And I think we all have a little bit of like when we're uncomfortable with something, we kind of,
puff up.
Yeah. Your audience might not know the reference, but Beyonce has Sasha Fierce.
Yes.
Right? So she, even Beyonce, when gets nervous and feels like she doesn't belong and, you know, whatever. And so she has this, like, persona of Sasha Fierce who will just do anything. And we all kind of have our little inner Sasha Fierce, but maybe it's more businessy and we try to be more formal, or we use our serious voice either in writing or you know, our first, your first all hands meeting. Yeah. You are very careful what you say, and then your like 100th all hands meeting, you're like
just very casual. Yep.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a lot like that.
Yeah.
Right. And so I wish there was some way to like speed people up to that 100th time, because it does get easier with time. But oh boy, if I were to read some of the emails I wrote in 2013, I would be very sad.
It is interesting. It just kind of takes, it just takes time, right? You just have to keep doing it until that, like, that need kind of like wears off a little bit. And you're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just me sitting here talking with people.
It's just practice, right? It's just, and so what's cool about email is that building an email list also tends to take some time. So you can get practice with a very small group of people who likely all know you personally. Mm-hmm. And then as things grow, your audience gets larger and your experience is more and more and more. And so then by the time you have a larger audience with who are like interested in hearing more from you and potentially purchasing things from you and all that good stuff, you've really gotten the kinks out.
Yeah.
And you're more yourself.
Awesome. Well, I want to hear a little bit about this business that you've launched recently, Fix My Churn. You are working with companies to kind of improve all of their email, their communication with their customers. Tell me a little bit about that. What inspired it? What brought it about?
Yeah. Fix My Churn was inspired entirely through conversations I have had with clients over the last 2 years. So I was, and still very much do, specialized in email onboarding lifecycle campaigns for MRR-focused companies. So typically software, sometimes e-commerce. So if you're focused on monthly recurring revenue, that is something that I am also obsessed with and want to help you retain as much monthly recurring revenue as possible and then grow it. And I am a firm believer, like the I will take to my grave kind of belief that you can do that with the customers you already have. And with customers that you have already attracted, being both your existing customers and customers who have been customers in the past. I don't think that the fastest path to hypergrowth is, or maybe the fastest path to hypergrowth is bringing in new customers, but the most sustainable path is through taking care of your existing customers, the people you've already attracted. So I kind of had this like Trojan horse thing going on in that I really made a name for myself as an onboarding expert. So email onboarding, I published a series of email onboarding teardowns on my blog, and that was something that people really came to me to get help with and to talk about. But that was my Trojan horse, I say, because I was talking to companies about onboarding and they would hire me for that. But then we would work on an onboarding project and I'd say, let's also do this retention work. Like, let's build a retention sequence and work on what happens after they have converted from free to paid. Then what do we do with them? Nothing. Okay, well, let's, I don't know, we send them their bill every month. No, you have to nurture that relationship long term. So I would get companies to work with me on onboarding, knowing that I was really going to sell them on retention.
Interesting.
Because that they go hand in hand in my book. So Fix My Churn was like the, what are people Googling? How do I fix my churn? How to fix my churn problem. And then, you know, the pivot to talking about retention front and center is because I spent all this time talking about onboarding and, you know, built like a reputation around my experience there, and that I now have the platform where I can lead with the thing that's less familiar and that people don't want to start with, which is ongoing retention. Because ultimately it's the funnel of if you, like I have so many companies come to me. I was just tweeting about this yesterday because it makes me crazy. They're like, we're doing a summit in 3 weeks and we're going to get thousands of new customers. And the marketing team and sales team is like all prepped and we need your help with onboarding because we just realized our onboarding is terrible. I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm kind of booked out, so it's not going to work.
Not going to happen.
But secondly, like that should have been your first consideration is, we want to bring in all these customers. Mm-hmm. We want to have a summit. So let's get onboarding shored up so that when we bring in all those customers, then they stay. Because if they come in and they have a terrible first experience, they're very likely to churn. So then if you go even deeper in the funnel, it's like once they're onboarded and converted to a paid account, what happens? Well, then they churn because they feel like all I am is a bank account now. And I have no connection with this piece of software that I use. And, somebody gave me a discount code for this competitor and I'm going to go over there.
Sure.
But if you use retention emails and have a relationship with your customers, it's less likely that they'll churn.
Yeah. So what does content look like in that phase where you have a customer and you're just trying to re-engage them or empower them with new information? What does that content strategy look like?
It depends on what the customer came to you for. Mm-hmm. And so this is true for software and services and products. It really doesn't matter. It's less about what you do or what you sell and more about what the customer needs. So let's say you have a course platform. It's less about the features that you have and the fact that you can host a course and that you can take payments online and blah, 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 and all these, you know, like you can have modules and great. Well, so does 7 of your competitors, mm-hmm. Right? But if you approach it from the customer's point of view of why are they hosting a course on the internet in the first place? It's to make money. Okay, Why do they want to make money? Do they want to transition away from services and host courses entirely? Do they want to be able to travel with their family? Hmm. Are they saving money for a kid's college fund? Like, is this a side hustle? Is it full time? What is the real reason behind why they came to you? It's a product management technique called jobs to be done. Mm-hmm. So the idea being, your customer has a job that they've hired your product to do. And you know, it's your job to know what that is so that you can speak to it. So retention and even onboarding to a degree is about speaking to that job and talking about features and all that good stuff that we all want to talk about, in relationship to what their deep-seated need is.
Interesting. So if someone was producing a course and their goal was just to take more vacations and spend more time with family, would you surface some of that information, surface that deep-seated interest of the course creator in the marketing?
Yeah, 100%. So telling customer stories about how the people that have done that have transitioned from services to courses, how it's changed their life. If you've built this like amazing dashboard and your team spent 6 months on it and it has all these features and it's really cool, a lot of companies will just email their customers and like, hey, we built this dashboard and look at this and it's over here and there's this button and
it's got all these new knobs.
Really, yeah, look at it, it's shiny. And they're like, okay, like, why do I care about your dashboard?
Yeah.
And if the dashboard, if what it actually does is it allows you to see where every single customer of yours is in their course progress, mm-hmm. how many people have completed, where they're getting stuck, which courses are selling the best, you know, where you should devote more of your energy. If your dashboard does all of that, that's what your customers want to know.
Yeah.
Because they can find out, you know, the good old at a glance phrase, like, but they can find out at a glance where they should be spending more time in their course business and where it's not paying off, which is super compelling if you are creating multiple courses and, you know, you want to know where to spend your time and you want to know that really quickly.
Interesting. So the goal in all of this is just to give people information that empowers them to do the job that they need to do. So like looking past like all the features, all of the things that maybe the work that you invested into making that thing and thinking like, what about this empowers some like transformation in somebody else? Like, so now they have the information to do the thing that they wanted to do, or, you know, finally they've gotten this piece of the puzzle that they never had before, and now it totally unlocks all of these other things, and trying to figure out those stories and bring those to the surface.
Right. It is the exact same model or method that I use in my services business, because, you know, I am saying customers are coming to me, my clients, the deep-seated problem that they have is that they're MRR is flatlining or going down. And they don't actually care how they solve that. They just want to solve it, and they want to solve it long term. They are sick and tired of the ups and downs. Because what the stories they tell me is that they bring in 2,000 new customers every month, 1,500 of them churn after 60 days, you know, then they start that whole cycle over again. And so my job then is to talk to them about how they can break that cycle by retaining customers long term. And so you can do it in products, you can do it in services. It's, you know, everybody asks for like that silver bullet in email, and that's the silver bullet, is talk to your customers and know what their problems are and then build emails around that.
I love it. Now, I want to change gears just a little bit. It seems to me like, And this is just my perception, but like email was, newsletters and email and marketing in email was like really hot like 15-ish years ago. And then it went through like a lull.
Yeah.
And then it's like super hot again. And like all my friends have some type of newsletter. Is that just like perceived because like that was like my 20s and like I was like drinking too much? Or has there really been like a renaissance of email over the last like 5 to 7 years?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. So it probably was, adjacent to whatever was most important to you at the time. I know that email is one of the things that's never going away.
Yep.
It always has a greater return than any other platform. Social media, all those things, like email beats every platform as far as return on investment. And everyone still talks about their inbox, you know, whether they love it or they hate it. We're either like telling everyone we hit inbox zero or complaining about the 1,041 unread emails in our inbox. So, you know, it's not going away. I feel like it's having a renaissance, the right word for it, because people want this more human connection, kind of tying back to what we originally were talking about, that email, when it's done right, can and should feel like a person talking to a person. I actually get responses to my bulk emails, my weekly emails that I had somebody recently respond to one that said, you got me, Val. I really thought you were writing me individually. Like, I thought this was just you writing to me. And then I realized it was sent because I saw the unsubscribed link, right? So they knew it was sent through an ESP. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
When we're writing on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, we know that it's going out to like a larger group of people.
Sure.
There's that, and I think that also more we all want a curated experience of our lives, and an email actually allows your audience to have a curated experience because they are choosing to have you in their inbox. So they curate their inbox to things that are interesting to them. And that's what's so fun about email too, is that the people on your list actually want to hear from you. They signed up to do that. And I think like unsubscribes are the best thing in the world because they are getting out of your way. Like if they don't want to hear from you, they're not opening your emails, they're harming your deliverability. And they're also saving you money because they were on your email list and pushing you over a certain threshold of payment plans. And then they unsubscribe and you get to drop back down. It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have to say, I have only just kind of started diving into the world of email, but I totally find that to be absolutely true. Like I'll post stuff on, you know, social media all the time. But then my engagement for the short things that I write that go into people's inbox is way higher, and it's higher quality too. People are like, oh man, this really like hit me. You start a dialogue, and you know, something that would have never happened kind of out in the open on a social media platform.
Yeah, I mean, my welcome email with the 5 random things about me, I close it by saying, tell me one thing about you. And almost every time they tell me 5 things about them, which like, you would never take the time to do that
right
on another platform, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Plus it's personal, right? So like, when I reply to someone on Twitter, I know everyone who follows me and everyone who follows them is seeing that. And then even people who follow other people, you know, like, who knows what the algorithm is that day.
Right.
But when I reply to you in an email, you see that.
Yeah.
And we're having a conversation now, just us. And it's just, I think lately, you know, there's a kind of a movement more towards, well, first of all, privacy. But then secondly, like that real human connection. We're all craving it after being so socially exposed over the last several years.
Yeah. So for someone who has been, you know, chasing the follower count, retweets, you know, stars on their open source projects, et cetera, what are the main benefits that you get from an email list? And probably more professionally, because I know there's the intimacy factor, which is great. But what are some of the professional things that people get from an email list that they can't cash in on any of those social media vanity points?
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about how you got to know me through Joel and Egghead. I know one of their like qualifying factors for being an instructor is, do you have an email list? That's one of the questions they ask when you apply to be an instructor. And the reason is because They want you to know that you are able to market your own courses, right? So, so I think that the number one benefit of an email list is that you have an audience ready to buy from you, if you're, you know, positioning it right and building the relationships. I have a, and actually, I should share it with you guys. I have a download called The Dinner Party Strategy. We won't walk through the whole thing tonight, today, but, you know, you can go download it. It's at valgeisler.com/TDPS for dinner party strategy. That will put you on my email list. And you'll get my five random things welcome email.
Perfect. We get to learn how this whole thing works.
Yeah. And a lot of people actually join my email list and are like, hey, I'm just here to like swipe your emails. And I'm like, fine with that. But the dinner party strategy, the whole idea behind it is like, you aren't, when somebody comes over to your house for dinner, you aren't like shoving a steak in their face the second they walk in the door. And so you don't want to like lead with a sale, right away on your email list. You want to let them come in and take their coat off, so to speak. I think that, you know, building your list allows you to have a ready-to-go audience when you are ready to sell something. And man, like, so many people have incredible IP that they can monetize, right? Like, we, especially developers, like, you know so much. And so many people want to learn what you know. And it's that very simple concept of just teach what you know. Like, teach what is in your brain. I mean, this is exactly what I'm doing with the incubator, is I know how to specialize in email, how to build a career out of it, how to be asked for, you know, to go in-house at different jobs, how to be in high demand for, as a freelance you know, consultant. So I just teach that.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like get everything out of your brain and onto paper. And that's sometimes hard to do. And I think like the Egghead team is really great at that.
Yeah.
At getting that out of you. But you know, being able to build a list so that you have those relationships. And I'll say that if you feel like, I know I have something to teach, but I have no idea what it is or what people would actually want, because like I know so much. and that happens a lot. One of the things you can do is use your email list to ask them questions. The exchanges that I have with my email list, because I not only ask them to tell me one random thing about them, but I also ask them about their biggest problem they face in email marketing. And from those answers, I have blog posts to write. I have courses to build. I have, you know, I kind of have an endless source of material. So building an email list is really about like kind of teasing out of you what you can sell and teach.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that I want to kind of dive into. Developers are notorious for having some kind of side hustle, whether that's like making courses or their open source projects or, you know, some app that they want to get off the ground. What is it that you recommend to them if, you know, email seems like totally overwhelming to them? Like, what's the first step? Like, how do they just get started? And, you know, what do you recommend to people who are like, I don't know how to like do this email thing, but I know that it's important.
Yep. So, the first thing is go get that dinner party strategy download, because, I gave a presentation on it at MicroConf a couple of years ago, audience of mostly developer, founders. So some non-developer founders, but, very technical founders in the audience. And a lot of them came up to me afterwards and have come up to me since then and said, I really took what you taught and applied it to my business. And it's been incredibly helpful to just get an onboarding in place for my app or even for their own email list. So sometimes it's like that biggest, that hurdle of like, you don't know what you don't know. And so just take the framework and then make it live, get email subscribers coming in, and then tweak it based on feedback and the data that you get. But you have to start somewhere. So the idea behind the framework is that you have somewhere to start. And I think what's most important is to, as you're having all these side projects and kind of figuring out, like, well, is it that I want to be an egghead instructor? Is that I want to put my own courses on another course platform? Is it that I just want to do some open source projects? Do I want to launch an app? Like, you're figuring all this out. Have a personal site, just, you know, your name, something simple, and start collecting email addresses there. Mm-hmm. So you can talk about your projects, and you can even run your projects by people on your email list, and start to share that. Make it really easy URL. So maybe it's just your homepage, or like you could have a /subscribe or something.
Mm-hmm.
Have a page with an email sign up, one list. Don't worry about segmenting. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just do one list. Have a welcome sequence, and then commit to writing to that list once a week. You don't have to write a long email. Write a couple of paragraphs, a sentence or two, ask them a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be intense. Share your experience. You know, I mean, that example we've been talking about of, I had a bunch of different, like, a podcast I was on, some things I'm speaking at. And I think we all have these, like, this is a project I'm working on. Here's the thing that I'm going to. I'm going to be at this meetup if you're around. I'd love to meet you. You know, those kinds of things are great to put into emails, especially when you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do in my email this week. Those are good things to do. And the other thing is, I feel like a lot of people who say, I don't know what to write about, end up writing a lot, because they're like, I just kind of just get on a roll and keep going.
Yeah.
So then break that up, and you have like 10 weeks of an email sequence to send out, right? Depending on how long it is. But yeah, break things up, and just make it easy to digest, and ask questions, get to know your audience. And like we talked about earlier, do it when you have a small group of people mm-hmm. that are interested in talking to you. You know, share that subscribe page in Slack teams you're in, with friends and family, on Twitter. Pin it to your Twitter profile, make it the link in your LinkedIn, whatever it is, and people will start coming in and signing up. And it might just be your mom at first, but you know, you can slowly grow over time and start to interact with both your peers and also like potential students. Or if you're even in the space of like, I'm just doing side projects so I can get a better gig, you could definitely attract people who would want to hire you. So sharing and understanding who's on your list by talking to them is incredibly helpful for your career, and then also just for the sake of the list, you know, what they want to know from you.
All of this information is amazing, and I love this idea, particularly tied to what you said. What you said earlier about talking to a person, I think that so many times we can get in our head about like, oh, what the end goal is, right? Like, I want to have a list of, you know, X tens of thousands of people, and you know, use it to sell courses. But you're saying to start small, to like think about just writing to a friend and telling them something that you know, and I think that that's something that we can all do, and then kind of figure it out along the way. And I just love that.
Something that I do that's helped me a lot, and that I've actually talked to a lot of other developers about, is this concept of endless broadcasts, where you basically create a sequence inside of your ESP. So you set up something, and you have your welcome sequence, and then that carries on into basically evergreen newsletter content.
Okay.
So even my email list, when you join my email list, you get 6 months, I think, worth of every week Tuesday emails from me, and I don't sit and write a single one of them. They're all on a sequence, and they're still like valuable content, and you know, it's people respond to them. The things, and they're things that I wrote last year that are still relevant and still useful, but I can pull them up and use them now, and it's really, really helpful when I have new content that is kind of evergreen, not the lots of links emails, but other things like that, you know, things other than that, I add it to the end of it. So eventually, like I was talking to I think Josh Duty does this, where he has like a year or a year and a half worth of emails queued up in a sequence. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, I am super grateful for all of the information that you've given us today. I think this is a great place to start for people who are at the beginning of their journey, like developing their career, developing their open source project or their app, and kind of really starting to touch base with their audience for the first time. I'm super grateful for everything that you shared. Is there anything that you would like to let us know about, or anything that that's going on in your life that we can kind of like follow your journey on?
Well, I will redirect everyone to the dinner party strategy because
we will link that for sure.
It's super valuable. Yeah. So valgeisler.com/TDPS is the best place to get that. You'll join my email list and you'll hear about everything going on for me moving forward. You'll get that series of 6 months worth of emails. But then you'll also get, you know, up to date relevant stuff as well. And then you can also learn about Fix My Churn at fixmychurn.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And where can people follow you on Twitter?
At LoveValGeisler.
Love it. Love it. Well, I'm very grateful. I hope that people sign up for that and learn along with me firsthand your strategy for emails. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for asking me to be here. It's been really fun.
Don't forget to download Val's dinner party strategy at valgeisler.com/TDPS. Of course, you can find links for everything mentioned in today's show at reactpodcast.com/63. Thanks, Val, for your time today and for helping us communicate more clearly over email. Thanks to our sponsors, Level Up Tutorial and G2i. Work remotely on React and React Native projects with G2i. Join a collective of brilliant developers focused on React. Visit g2i.co today, go to the For Developers page, apply, and discover opportunities tailor-made for you. If you're looking to expand your React skill set with Apollo, Electron, Gatsby, GraphQL, or React Spring, visit leveluptutorials.com. There you'll find hours of material that will improve your expertise and marketability as a React developer. Buy just the courses that you need, or go pro and get access to all of them and a new course each month. Become a better web developer at leveluptutorials.com. This episode of React Podcast was edited by Mikhail Delport. It was produced by Mikhail Delport and Sarah Jackson. You can find React Podcast on Spec, a network to help designers and developers level up. Visit spec.fm to find other shows that will take you further in your career. Help us out by reviewing this show on iTunes. Your reviews help the show grow and help us ensure great guests and awesome content week to week. To join the discussion, visit reactpodcast.com/chat or follow us on Twitter at reactpodcast. I'm at Chantastic. To stay out of the discussion but get updates, visit reactpodcast.com/news and sign up for emails. Thanks so much for giving us your attention. We'll be in your ears again next week.